Good morning, everyone. My name is Heather Montgomery, and it is my great pleasure to welcome you all to worship this morning, especially if you are visiting with us. You're almost welcome, whether you're worshiping with us here face to face or whether you're worshiping with us at home online, you are all really welcome. Our prayer is that all of us together will meet with the living Lord this morning. I wonder, can we say, like the psalmist, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Let me begin by reading a few verses from Revelation chapter 21, and just listen to these glorious words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. What a wonderful picture of God's love, his mercy, and his grace. We're going to sing of his mercy in one of our opening songs, His Mercy Is More, but this is preceded by Everlasting God. So let's praise this wonderful God of ours as we sing these songs. Please feel free to stand or sit as you wish.
On the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Let us all join together in prayer. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, everlasting God, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And so, Lord, we humbly come before you now in prayer and ask that you would open our ears to hear you speak to us today. How we long to hear your voice. And open our eyes to see you afresh. As a result of meeting with you this morning, cause our faith to rise and our eyes to see your majestic love. A love that went to the cross for us in our place, that bore the pain and suffering that we deserved, so that we can have total forgiveness. You remember our sins no more. A love that lavishes kindness on us, strengthens us in our weaknesses, comforts us in our distress, deeply cares for us, and gently calls us home. We thank you that you will wipe every tear from our eyes, that in your presence there will be no more death or mourning or tears. You are our hope, our strong deliverer. Help us to trust you in everything, for you are Lord of all. May our response be to come to you now in worship. So speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Take your truth this morning and plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, Lord, we pray. And may we leave this morning knowing we have met with you, the living Lord, and responding with shouts of joy and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, Ivy McKibben is going to come and read Psalms 42 and 43, our focus for this morning, which go together and may well have originally been one psalm. Ben will say a little more about this later on. So, Ivy, will you come and read for us, please? Thank you.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I can go and meet with God. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mazer. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony. My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are wicked and deceitful. Why, you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Lead them. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen.
Well, Ivy, thanks very much for reading that for us. And Heather, thanks very much for leading us in our worship. And thanks too to the guys leading us in our praise and up at the back and others who make Sundays happen week by week. We're really grateful for all those who contribute to our worship and enable us to keep gathering and worshiping Sunday upon Sunday. Thanks to Gordon, who was leading and preaching last week when I was away, and Ian Hart and Alistair, who were covering things while I was sunning myself on the North Coast, and it was great. Thank you. If you are visiting this morning, you're really welcome. My name's Ben. I'm the minister here, and it's really great to have you with us. I know over these past few days, a lot of our young people have been having what we call the Red Summer Sessions. Johnny, is that right? They've been down to Delamont and Newcastle to Let's Go Hydro. They've been outside with a fire pit that could basically heat the whole of Cairns Hill, if you've seen it, and enjoying singing and having lots of fun and games together. And maybe there's some folks either here or watching online who have come as a part of that. It's great to have you with us, and I think that was a great time had by all. Looking forward to the next few weeks as we get into a new term. Next week, our Exodus teams who are away on the Shankill Road for a mission at the start of July are going to be telling us all about that, so we're looking forward to that service. And the following week is going to be an all-age service as we think together about a new term, back to church and back to school and back to lots of different things. Life groups and other activities will be beginning as September begins, and I'll say a little bit more about that in the next week or two. And also, Moni works in our office there on Tuesdays and Fridays, and she does our admin, and she sends out the announcement sheets to all who want them. She'd love you to sign up for an announcement sheet. We're not, obviously, at the moment, printing them and handing them out, but you can get them sent out to you by email, and as September comes, there's going to be more and more info on there. Now, Moni's got a fabulous new computer and computer system. Thanks very much to Phil. But she needs to reharvest lots of emails. So if you like the announcement sheet and you're not getting it, send Moni an email and she'll get your email and she'll be able to send that to you. And that'll be great. And you can get the information about what's going on to hand. Over the past couple of weeks, no doubt many of us have watched and followed the news coming out of Afghanistan. A woman, Ruth and I know, works for a Christian mission organization in Afghanistan. We were praying that she would get out of Kabul airport. She did, sitting on the floor of an RAF plane with just her hand luggage. We were getting updates from her dad, and as he said, who would have thought a country could unravel so quickly? Perhaps few of us were aware of how much was already happening beforehand. And now quickly our news turns, doesn't it, to who's to blame? Here or in America or China or Russia or whoever or wherever. But the real edge is for people now living under a Taliban regime. People in a place which geographically hasn't changed, but finding themselves in a place they don't want to be. We've been thinking over the summer about some different psalms, these songs from the Bible, and we've talked about songs in the key of life because they really speak about human experience, but God meeting us, some words to us in our human experience. And this last one for this summer is the song of a man who is in a place he doesn't want to be. Maybe you know that feeling too. For this man, maybe geographically, he wants to be somewhere else. He wants to be back home in Jerusalem that he knows, God's holy mountain that the psalm talks about. Back to where everything's good and right and joyful with God. But more profoundly, his soul is in a place he doesn't want it to be. It's in a place of disturbance. Psalms 42 and 43, and maybe if you've got a Bible or some kind of device, you might want to follow on there and have a look at them. As Heather said, and as we heard when Ivy was reading, at some point in history, they were recognized as two psalms, two songs. But in several old Hebrew manuscripts, copies of what they were originally written in, and quite possibly then originally, these two songs were just one psalm or song. And you can see how that is, because the same chorus gets sung three times. It's there in verse 5 and verse 11 of Psalm 42, and exactly the same chorus comes at the end in verse 5 of Psalm 43. So it's like you've got three sort of verses of about three or four Bible verses, and then a chorus, and that happens three times. And here's the chorus. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The first part of that chorus reflects one big theme that runs through the song. My troubled soul. Why are you so downcast, says the man to himself as he kind of has a bit of introspection. Why are you so disturbed within me? And the song is really quite an open and starting how he's feeling in the place by himself. He's floundering in the present and he's longing for a better future. Let's just pray for a moment before we continue to look at this psalm together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that as we have been singing, as we wait upon you, strength rises in us. We find hope in you. And that you meet with us in your mercy, which is greater than we can imagine. Greater than anything we are or we've done. So Lord, thank you that you speak to us, and you speak to us in these songs in the key of life, these songs of experience, these songs, these psalms. People have written from what they know, and it so identifies with what we know. Lord, help us as we reflect this morning to hear what you have to say to us, to know that you're meeting with us, and to know that you're the God who brings us hope, even when we're in places we don't want to be. Lord, we pray this, that you'd open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this song, in verses 1 to 4, he's having a bit of a pine, a longing for the past. Life feels a bit like it's dried up in the desert. Well, dried up apart from his tears, that is. His soul is thirsting for the kind of life he's just not experiencing at the moment. He remembers what life used to be like, the good old days. I wonder if you've ever had those times you think, oh yeah, do you remember the good old days? Do you remember what life used to be like? Do you remember when it was great? He says, I used to go with a multitude. I used to go with the crowds. I used to lead the procession in the house of God. I was the worship leader. It was great, and there were shouts of joy and thanksgiving, and a whole crowd of people were together celebrating and praising God. And that was great then, but where's all that now? Where's God now? He's pining for the past. And then in verses 6 to 10, in the kind of middle section, he's floundering a bit in the present. That picture of being parched in the desert is now one of drowning in the sea. So verse 7 says, deep calls to deep on the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And interestingly, they're words that Jonah quotes when he is sunk and inside the fish. Here's this man writing this song, and he feels the push down of the water. He's struggling just to keep his head above the surface. He's treading water. God feels so distant as one kind of chaotic wave of life after another breaks over. He feels just a bit out of his depth and a bit wearied by it all. And then in verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 43, he's longing for a better future. He's just a bit weighed down by surrounding people and events. He's wanting to be pulled out from that, rescued from that, and put into a better place. He's longing again for that kind of mountaintop experience that he once knew, for joy and delight once more, longing for a better future. When I was first thinking about this psalm and reflecting on it, I was thinking about it quite personally. So what is it the guy says in the chorus? My troubled soul, my downcast soul. And maybe, like me, you can identify with times that you just feel life was better in the past. You had a bit more, I don't know what the phrase, va-va-voom, I don't know what you call it. You felt life was a bit exciting. Or maybe your faith just used to feel a bit more vibrant, more real, more passionate, like you felt closer to God back when you were 18. Faith was fresh, but now you just feel a bit spiritually dry. Maybe you can identify with feeling like you're floundering a bit in the present. Life is busy, life is noisy, life is chaotic, like this constant waterfall crashing around, too close for comfort. Maybe there's waves of pressure or demand or waves of sadness breaking over. You're keeping your head just maybe above water. Or maybe you can identify with longing for a better future that just seems out of reach. Disheartened maybe a bit by events and people, the weight of what you think and what other people have said and what you think other people think. Oh. Longing to feel clear of uncertainty, longing to feel right and safe and secure and released and joyful and free with God. What's that hymn? Oh, for a closer walk with thee. But then, having thought a bit about that individually, I began to actually think about how this psalm may express something of where we and other churches find ourselves at the moment. Not just us as individuals, but maybe us as church and churches. A bit of pining for the past. I guess often people may pine for how church used to be, or they remember church used to be. But at the moment, it's not the old days for me. It's just even like 18 months ago. As one of several experiences I could pick on. I don't know if many of you remember the 60th anniversary we had just in January 2020. What was that, 18 months? And we had the church full, and we had some extra chairs, and people were playing pass the parcel all a bit on top of each other, and David Bruce was preaching a great sermon, and we had loads of singing, and there was a sense of celebration, and there was this fabulous cake, and we all piled into the hub and had coffee all on top of each other. What's verse 4 of Psalm 42? How I used to go with the multitude, leading the praise in the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Oh, times I've stood in this empty church and thought about that. And though I'm not going to say we're floundering, but maybe there's a bit of a feel, isn't there, which we're in times of treading water a bit in the present. Wave after wave of COVID has swept over. And here we are. Well, listen, it's good. We're glad to be back in the building for these number of months and together. And maybe in a few weeks we'll be able to fit a few more in safely and do a few more other things. But let's be honest, it's still a bit distant, isn't it? And a bit muted and a bit limited. And I can't really even ask you to chat with the person next to you about how they feel about it. Some people say things are getting better, and some people say, do you know what, actually they're not great. And we're probably going to be alternating like this, 1 to 7, 8 to 15, or however it is, for the next few weeks, months, into the autumn, into the winter, I don't know, into the new year maybe. Feels a little bit like bobbing up and down still in the water, trying to get somewhere, but a bit weary. So there's some real longing for a better future, when we could get back to that point when we're all together. And there's no fear, and there's no restrictions, and there's joyful worship, and the delight of singing without masks. And sitting next to people, and kids gathering at the front, and shaking hands, and hugging, and having coffee, and all that sort of stuff. We can pop into each other's homes without fear or care. We can move on with the vision of what God has for us to be. So I thought about it individually, and I thought about it as church, and then actually in recent days, I've been convicted with how you would read the psalm if you were a believer in Afghanistan. And saying that, I'm not suggesting by any means we're only concerned about Christians there, not at all, but just imagine someone who follows Jesus reading this psalm in Kabul at the moment. Pining. Weeping for the past that seems to have disappeared without any chance of meeting together with God and others. Not that it was easy being a Christian before there, but now I was reading according to one Christian convert in Afghanistan. He said this, they will kill the known Christians and want to spread fear. There are already posters appearing that if you have single girls, 15-year-olds, you'll have to marry them to Taliban soldiers. Christians fear their daughters will be taken away from them. Christians floundering in the chaos of the country, surrounded by a culture that increasingly oppresses them, saying, where is your God? Wondering where God has gone as Sharia law rolls out across the land, desperate for God to come to their defense, to their rescue. Can you imagine how much they might be longing for a better future? And yet this psalm is not simply about identifying with downcast souls, ours and others. It is about hope. The chorus comes back to an even greater theme, to the bigger hope that the psalmist keeps holding on to in God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, this isn't some kind of hope that is just an instant happiness and a quick resolution for our troubled souls and situations. How could it be? But hope that's for the long haul of life. Hope that's greater than the trouble of any soul. Hope that God carries us. So at whatever level we might identify with this psalm, let me give you from it some reasons to be hopeful. And the first is this, that God meets with us and speaks to us in our place of disturbance. Wherever we may find ourselves uncomfortably, God meets with us there. Here's a song in which God is addressing our troubled souls. Here's a song that says, you're not alone in feeling this way. Pining for the past, floundering in the present, longing for a better future, feeling distant from God. God sees and knows this at whatever level we experience it, whether you're a psalm-writing worship leader in a low, in, I don't know, 7th century BC Israel, or a 21st century Belfast Christian struggling through COVID, or an Afghan believer under Taliban oppression. It's not true that no one else could understand the thoughts and the troubles of your soul that you're having. It's especially not true that God cannot understand or empathize with that. This is a song in a real key of human Christian life, where we may often find ourselves in places we don't want to be, and yet God meets us and addresses us right there. And so the truth is that we can pour out our souls to the one who is always closer than we think. The choice the psalmist makes in verse 4 is to pour out his soul. That's a great phrase, isn't it? To pour out, I just poured out my soul. I just laid it out there. I just let it go to God. And he's saying, God, listen, I'm pining for the past. You know how I think it was great then. I'm floundering here under what you keep sending my way. I'm longing for you to pull me out to some better future. God, hear what I'm feeling about my life, my church, the events of this world, about where you are or seem to be at the minute. And though God seems distant, he is right there to be opened up to, right there listening. So the psalmist says in his angst, when can I go and meet with God? But actually, the wonderful truth is he opens up to God right then and there, knowing that there is no moment to wait for, and no time like the present. By day or night, he says, I can pray to the God of my life. He wonders where God is. He seems so distant. And yet, as he sits there looking from the Jordan, which is the lowest place on earth, to the heights of Mount Hermon, he knows that God is everywhere. God is God and present everywhere, always closer than we think. And see how, as the psalmist asks God why he's forgotten about him, why he seems to ignore him, at the same time he calls God his rock. And as he asks God why it seems that he's rejected him, he still calls God his stronghold. Maybe the worship of the past that he's been pining for has also shaped him for these moments. He holds on to God as a rock and a stronghold, even if he doesn't know what to make quite of anything right now. And as he opens up about how he feels, feeling so downcast and distant, he can't help recalling the goodness and the strength and the grace of God that has punctuated his life and been there again and again. The truth is, whatever it felt like in the past and whatever it feels like now, to parody a phrase, God hasn't gone away, you know. Not from you, or here, or Afghanistan. And so the psalmist says, why are you so downcast, my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So we can choose to think of God as distant and keep it all in and keep trying just to tread water in the present. And we can keep pining for a past that actually you can't bring back, even if it were like how you remember it. And you can keep longing for a future that actually we are helpless to control and bring about ourselves. Or we can realize in this moment that God is right there and we can open up to him and see what happens. And so finally, we should remember, as with every psalm, that fulfillment comes in its true author and perfecter, Jesus. So this psalmist, feeling God distant, longing for a better future, calls out towards the end, send me your light and truth. Let them lead me. And in this great answer of history, God sent his light and truth in Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and he knew what it was to experience a downcast soul. We read about that as he moves towards the cross, those really moving lines about Jesus saying, my heart is heavy, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? About contemplating his death and sweating blood. about there on the cross, oppressed by enemies who sing, "Where's your hope? Where's your God?" And him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus knew what it was to have a downcast soul. But here's the gospel hope, the good news of hope that we have. That Jesus didn't go through that to say, "Well, hey, listen, too, if you just pull yourself together and work your hope up a bit." Jesus went through it for me and you so that we can have capacitated, dried up, drowning in life, and disheartened. Because the gospel is not us in our kind of low, distant feeling, trying to work up and claw back hope in God in our own strength. But instead, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. In our low, distant estate, we may find that hope has come right to us in Jesus. I read this line on a tweet a little while ago. It's maybe a line you may have heard before and may well know. It begins like this: "If you feel far from God, guess who moved? If you feel far from God, guess who moved?" And I think maybe the old answer is for us to say, "Well, you know, I guess I did. You know, God doesn't change. God doesn't move. I guess I moved. And I realize I moved from God, and I feel guilty about that, and I try to move back. And I try to work myself up into hope and back into God's presence and out of being downcast." But that trying, that's not the gospel. And there's no hope in that for the Afghan believer, is there? So if you take nothing else from thinking about the hope of this psalm, take the next line of this tweet: "If you feel far from God, guess who moved? Jesus did. Jesus came right to us, and he carried us into God's presence with him. Whatever the past has been, whatever the present holds, whatever the future we long for, whatever our feelings, the facts of faith are this: that in Jesus we remain as close to God as ever, held secure by the very power of God, our rock and stronghold, truly right with our God. And neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, or from the future he is preparing for us." We may well be in a place we don't want to be. We do well to consider and pray for other believers who find themselves in such a place. The hope promised is not an instant fix, but we may know Jesus carrying us through it for the long haul. We are not alone. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. We're going to sing as a response, a song we've maybe sung once or twice before, and we were just reflecting earlier. It's one of the ones on the CD that we've produced over lockdown. "My troubled soul, why so weighed down? Jesus cares. He cares for you." Let's sing this together as our response to Jesus.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we worship you this Sunday morning. We thirst after you and acknowledge that only as we meet you through Jesus Christ can our deepest needs be met and our greatest thirst be satisfied. And yet, Lord, there are times when you seem far away, when life weighs heavily on us and we feel downcast. We pray for any of our church family who are currently going through tough times, that they may put their hope in God and that the light and truth of God, their stronghold, might guide them and bring them close into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the summer of mission and outreach that so many of our young people have been involved in. We pray for our children and young people as they prepare to return to school this week or next. May they be kept safe and quickly settle into the new routines of school and school life, which will hopefully return to some level of normality. We pray for our teachers and for all those involved in education as they face many trials and challenges. Lord, we ask that you will bless the work done by Johnny and Jill and the large team of volunteers here in Saintfield Road as they prepare for a new season. Give them energy, creativity, and opportunity to disciple and teach boys and girls and young people and families to know and serve you in everyday life. Father, we beseech you to be ever present with John and Burita and their little family, Jonas and Marcus, in Japan. We especially ask for your help for John as he has extra responsibilities in the church for the next few months. Give him time for preparation and bless him as he leads that little congregation. We pray, Lord, for that great country of Japan that we have seen so much of in these last few weeks. We ask for a movement of your Spirit that many might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the ongoing work of Gerald and Louise in Kenya. Thank you for the virtual transformed graduation ceremony yesterday. And we pray for all those young people who have successfully completed the program and ask that they will continue to walk closely with you and be your disciples as they return to their homes and communities. And we continue to pray for the country of Kenya as they battle with the pandemic and its consequences. Lord, we pray for the work of Scripture Union here in Northern Ireland. Thank you that so many camps and missions were able to be held this summer and that hundreds of children and young people across the province were introduced to Jesus. We pray for the staff as they prepare for a new term. May they have opportunities to be involved in schools, even with ongoing restrictions on activities. Thank you for the new resource developed during lockdown called Jesus is Better, and ask that it will be used widely by churches and families. We pray for Scripture Union worldwide, including Kenya, where the national director, Nancy, has appeared on national television and called for an end to silence on violence against children, which has seen a very significant increase following recent pandemic lockdowns. One in every two children in Kenya has experienced violence against them. We pray for the government and faith organizations who are attempting to address these issues. And Father, we've been greatly troubled by the events of our world, and particularly distressing scenes we have seen this week from Kabul and Afghanistan. We pray for those military personnel, diplomats, and aid agencies working on the ground. May they be kept safe. Give them patience and compassion, bravery and sensitivity as they try to help many hundreds and thousands of desolate individuals and despairing families desperate to escape from the horrors of that country. And we pray, Lord, for the Taliban leaders as they do form a new government, that they will be true to their word and be prepared to be more accepting of all their citizens. Lord, we know that some of InterServe's partners have chosen to remain within that country to try to help. The new regime has really made it clear that they know who they are and what they are doing. We pray for their protection, for wisdom, for courage, and for opportunity to do good. We pray for our politicians in the West, for the Foreign Secretary, the Minister of Defence, the Home Secretary, the Prime Minister, that they will make good decisions, act wisely, and that peace will come to that region. We pray for the displaced people from Afghanistan who come to the UK and especially to Northern Ireland, that they will be welcomed and made to feel at home. Lord, you are the Lord of creation. In you and through you, all things are held together. We live in a world where evil is rife and many have rejected you and denied who you are. We hear of wars and rumours of wars, of earthquakes and storms, of floods and droughts, of famines and exploitation of the poor. Lord, help us as your people to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Alistair, for leading us in prayer. We're going to close as we sing and continue singing about the hope we have. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his blood and righteousness. We're going to sing Cornerstone together. Well, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn